You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Happy Fantasy Football Championship Week, everybody. You are listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive with Dan Hampton drives and go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. In studio today, we've got ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer JC Talon. JC, how's your fantasy season looking, buddy?
You're going to have to phrase that in the past tense. I have two leagues, highest scorer in both leagues, and I'm done in both leagues.
That's unfortunate. And joining us over Skype, we've got Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, are you still alive in your fantasy leagues?
Yeah, still alive in half of them. I owe Cam Newton a thank you. It turns out that he not only covers up his own team's bad doings, but also his fantasy teams. I lost points with Buck Allen in the flex spot, but obviously Cam Newton with his 41-plus points helped me prevail.
All right, awesome. We're going to do kind of a megapod here. It's championship week, so rather than go through the normal news and notes, we're going to break down every single game for you, hopefully help propel you to your fantasy football league championship. Thanks, Dan Mott, our producer. We will get right to it with the Thursday game, Oakland and San Diego, an over-under of 47. JC, anybody you like in Oakland, San Diego, if you have to play somebody on that Thursday slate?
Well, so I went back and looked, and it looks like Donald Brown has made an appearance, and he actually, now he had a decent rush per carry, but he also had one long run. So if he's going to get the bulk of carries, Oakland is the 23rd rated defense in the league. They are 13th against the run, but he might be somebody, if you're desperate, that you could play.
Arthur, a guy we gave up on a long time ago and someone you should have given up along with us, Melvin Gordon is on IR. That should mean more touches for Danny Woodhead, right?
Yeah, not like he needed them last week with the, I think, what, four touchdowns? Three through the air. So he was another guy that won leagues for a lot of people and should continue to be relevant, as you said. Obviously, also Antonio Gates will be a solid play. And then in Oakland, Amari Cooper bounced back from his worst game as a pro with arguably his best and gets a tough matchup with Jason Verrett, but I'm sure he's a guy you're going to be rolling with.
Yeah, I think if I have to pick one Oakland wide receiver, I'm taking Crabtree over Cooper because of the tough matchup with Verrett. JC, anything else you want to add on this one?
Well, Crabtree is a great goal line option. I would, with Woodhead, the one thing I'd be careful of, first of all, if I had him and I was still playing, I would probably play him, but he did have 8 carries for 10 yards. So he could be one of those boomer bust guys. But, yeah, I would agree with you on Crabtree. Cooper's the better player, but Crabtree might get more looks because of the matchup.
All right, we're going to move on to the next game. Philadelphia and Washington, currently an over-under of 48. I think there's some fantasy goodness to be had here. Basically, everybody on Washington. Kirk Cousins just won't stop throwing touchdowns. Washington looks like they're primed for a real playoff push here. Arthur, are you playing everybody on Washington if you own them?
Yeah, no doubt. The Eagles just gave up yet another 40 spot, so it turns out that slight correction with Chip Kelly's club was just that. It was slight, and like you said, Kirk Cousins on fire last week. Jordan Reed especially on fire with a 20-point-plus game for fantasy folks. And DeSean Jackson, a nice bounce-back candidate as well. You saw what John Brown did. Actually, he dropped the first 3 touchdowns, I think, were thrown his direction in primetime last week against the Eagles. But that secondary is not built to defend speed, so it could be a game for Jackson to get back on track, too.
Oh, that John Brown thing was so tilting. I was all over it. That's so disappointing. JC, who do you like in Philly and Washington?
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup. I have Washington as a matchup to exploit this week. The one thing I thought I'd go back and talk about several weeks in a row, how well Kirk Cousins has been playing, but it's really just 2 weeks. And if you go back before that, he was up and down, up and down. So note of caution there. I wouldn't get too far in on them. I had Jordan Reed as a must start. DeSean Jackson is a solid play. I had Cousins and Alfred Morris worth a look. Last resort, Matt Jones. I can barely say that name without gritting my teeth, Dustin Hopkins, and stay away from the Washington D.
All right, we're going to move on to Jets-Patriots. Got an over-under of 45.5. Gronk smashed last time in that one. I'm a little hesitant to play Brandon Marshall because I think when you look at New England and Bill Belichick, they like to take away your best option. Brandon Marshall, I think, is pretty clearly the Jets' best option. I kind of like Eric Decker this week a little more than Marshall. Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. That's a great call on Belichick. You know, it's typically eliminating the top option. So it's interesting. I think Decker's probably only a hair behind Marshall in terms of what they've meant for that offense. I know Marshall's numbers are a little bit gaudier, but what you like about Decker is the way they can hide him. Malcolm Butler has been a revelation dating back to last year's Super Bowl in that New England secondary, but I don't believe he'll head into the slot and cover the opponent's receiver. That's where Decker will spend a lot of his time. So, yeah, I think that's an astute point by you. I'd probably give him a little bit of an edge over Marshall. Although you're playing your studs at this point. We said this last week, so I'm certainly not sitting down Marshall, and I'm not sitting down Amari Cooper either. You can't be afraid of Jason Verrett.
JC, when I look at the New England running back situation, they just signed Steven Jackson. I'm not picking him up. I think if I've got to pick one, it's probably still James White. I know Brandon Bolden was a bit of a popular play last week, and not so much, but I think James White, he may have established himself in that Deion Lewis role, where he's going to catch balls and he's going to get opportunity.
Yeah, he's probably the safest play of the three. I started Brandon Bolden. He did not perform as expected. So, I would agree with you, and we don't know about Steven Jackson. You're not going to know until you watch the game. It's not like Belichick's going to come out on Friday and say, I'm going to give Jackson 25 carries. I mean, that's just not going to happen. This is number 6 defense in New England against number 5 defense with the Jets. However, if you go back and look at Week 7, both teams put up pretty good yardage. So I'm generally bullish on this game.
All right, yeah, and obviously we're playing Gronk, we're playing Brady.
Right.
Start your studs, as we've been saying. Yep. Let's move on to Titans-Texans. There's no over-under on it yet. Marcus Mariota, if you have him, sorry, he's pretty much done for the season. Zach Mettenberger is going to start. No thank you on that. I'm firing up the Texans D if I own them. They're a top 3 play for me this week. JC, anybody you like in Titans-Texans?
Well, no.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
You know, I think you're going to play DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. Yeah. On the Titans side, Mettenberger threw 2 touchdowns. He also had 2 picks. You got to play Delanie Walker, right? Both of the touchdown passes came from Mettenberger. If you were just desperate in a very large league, maybe you'd look at DGB. But I think that's more of a matchup to avoid than to look at.
Yeah, and Arthur, I think in DFS I'm avoiding this game completely. I think it's going to be a low game. I don't like that Mariota's out. I think Texans D, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's a good call. Maybe look at the defense. I do like Delanie Walker. It's hard to ignore the consistency he's put up over a handful of weeks, and typically the inexperienced wide receivers are looking for their tight ends. But yeah, overall, this is a game that's not going to be featured in a lot of fantasy lineups, obviously.
All right, let's move on from it then. Chiefs-Browns, over-under 42.5, and Kansas City favored by 12.5 as of we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon. So fire up your Chiefs D if you got them, I think. And one thing I really hope people monitor is the Kansas City running back situation. Charkandrick West got, he got the volume last week. He did get into the end zone. If Spencer Ware continues to be banged up, and really with his rib injury, it's more about pain tolerance than anything. So keep an eye on if Spencer Ware is going to play. If he does, then I think you have to downgrade Charkandrick West, don't you, JC?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people did that because he was announced as inactive right before the game. So Charkandrick West went out of a lot of fantasy lineups, and that was a shame because in a week when running backs really didn't do much, West sat on a lot of benches. In my analysis in Chicago Football Weekly, I have him getting about 2/3 of the carries at least. And I think West is somebody you got to play. Now, who knows? But I he played well. He had a nice run. I think with the dearth of running backs that are out there, I would play him. I like Macklin. I like Kelsey. One thing I really do like about this game is I think Cleveland's going to make it a little closer than you might think. They're a different team with Manziel, which means Kansas City's going to have to score to win. I think they will win. So I wouldn't hesitate to play your Chiefs.
Arthur, what are you looking at in Chiefs-Browns?
Yeah, you guys said it pretty much. That Kansas City backfield, keep an eye on Ware. But I also think you're rolling with West regardless. He has out-touched Ware in every game. They've both been active. And then certainly that Chiefs defense will be an interesting play with Manziel likely to be good for at least a turnover or two.
All right, let's move on to Dolphins-Colts. No over-under yet. Guys, Matt Hasselbeck has nothing left. Charlie Whitehurst might get the start, which would get me excited about the Dolphins defense, but I think they've pretty much quit on the season. How about you, Arthur?
Yeah, that's kind of what I've seen as well. There's not a whole lot that's going to excite you here. It's a shame, too, because there's some Colts skill position players that a lot of people have been reliant on this season, and I think they kind of take a hit with instability at quarterback, and then I think Lamar Miller now banged up in Miami, so that's a situation to monitor. But this is another game I think you're probably largely going to steer clear of.
Yeah, the one guy I have written down in my notes is Jarvis Landry. There was some noise that the Dolphins were trying to get him as many catches as possible just to boost him up in the record books. But beyond that, this is a team that's quit, it looks like, at least to me, JC.
Well, DirecTV just announced that if you've got the package, for an extra $10, they'll black out this game for you.
Worth it. You know what? Worth it.
Yeah, this is just an awful game from two teams that look miserable. It's the 28th-ranked defense in Indy against the 30th in Miami. I'm not sure that Indy hasn't quit. It looks awful. Jarvis Landry, a little banged up, so watch that. Lamar Miller really disappointed last week. It's just ridiculous. Maybe the backup there from Boise State gets a couple carries. I don't know. I would stay away from this game. We don't even know who's going to be the quarterback, which is why there's no over-under. So, yeah, a bad game, which actually, if everybody was healthy, it probably would be a high-scoring game because how bad the defenses are. But until we've got a better picture, I would stay away from it.
All right, let's move on to a game that's got some fantasy goodness here. Saints and Jaguars, over-under of 52, which is the highest on the slate. You're playing Allen Robinson, you're playing Blake Bortles, you're playing Drew Brees, you're playing Brandon Cooks. Who else are we looking at from Saints-Jaguars, JC?
Well, I like Julius Thomas and also Watson over on New Orleans, so both tight ends should get their fair share of touches. That, stay away from the obvious ones. Marcus Colston, if you are hurting, you got some injuries, he's getting more touches lately. Brees likes to go to him near the goal line. I'm not recommending him as a, high, WR1 or 2. But what I'll tell you is if you're looking for a flex guy and you're hurt, you've got some injuries, he might be somebody you consider.
Arthur, how do you feel about Marcus Colston?
Yeah, I liked what I saw on Monday night. He clearly is still getting it done. I mean, the only kind of lasting feeling I had watching that game is it's just a shame to see the Drew Brees' remaining good years being wasted by that defense. Yeah. But, nonetheless, yeah, I think Colson's solid. It was really nice to see Cooks continue to get going. And then I think we mentioned most of the Jaguars, Julius Thomas, obviously. Allen Hurns, I expect to bounce back after a quiet week. So you're really firing up all your Jaguars and feeling pretty good about this matchup overall and what should be really high scoring between two defenses that probably won't play much.
Yeah, Arthur, in DFS, I think I'm looking at game stacking this. Maybe Bortles, Robinson, Hurns, Hightower, Watson. I'm not above playing four or five guys from this game.
No, I think that would be a good call. There has been absolutely no reason to believe that the Saints are suddenly going to turn it on defensively, even if John Gruden was trying to sell us that they're still out there playing hard Monday night. There's just not enough horses right now. It's going to take a couple off seasons to fix this, I'm pretty confident.
All right, from a great fantasy game to maybe a kind of sneaky one with a couple of guys I'm looking at, Lions 49ers, over under 42.5. But guys, I'll give you Matthew Stafford's past four games, 12 touchdowns, one pick. I know it's meaningless. The Lions aren't going to the playoffs or anything, but Stafford looks somewhat rejuvenated, JC.
Yeah, San Francisco is a good opponent. They've been playing good opponent from a fantasy perspective. They've been playing a little better, but they still have the 27th ranked defense. I would take a good look at Amir Abdullah if you are thin at running back. He seems to be getting, no pun intended, lion share of the carries there.
So bad
anyway,
joke.
I think he's somebody, obviously, a monitor Calvin Johnson's injury status. It seems to be helping Golden Tate when Johnson isn't featured as much.
Yeah, Arthur, Golden Tate has really come on these past few weeks. Him and Stafford appear to have it clicking at this point.
Yep, good player for sure. Has avoided at least a huge drop-off from his breakout year last year. What's really amazing about what Matthew Stafford has done over the past month, really since Jim Bob Cooter replaced Joe Lombardi, Lombardi as the offensive coordinator, is they're really doing without Calvin Johnson. He had the huge day on Thanksgiving, and he's otherwise done nothing. Five combined catches over the last three games. Stafford has, I think, seven total touchdowns over that span. So Golden Tate's been a huge part of it. I agree with JC. It was nice to see Amir Abdullah show some life last night, although he again put the football on the turf in the fourth quarter. So that's something you have to be alarmed by. So yeah, the Lions offense is looking pretty good at the moment. As far as the 49ers are concerned, I think you're probably going to steer clear. Now another running back that may have helped out some folks in recent weeks, Sean Jaron, is headed for some further testing on his knee.
Yeah, with that said, Arthur, how do we feel about Lions defense? If you're hurting for a defense, if you've got a defense that's not in a great matchup, this is a pretty good spot for a defense that hasn't been good for most of the year. But if you want to take a risk, you know, Blaine Gabbert can throw you a pick or two.
Yeah, I think so. He had three of them last week, actually. So that was kind of a problem for him because he had protected the football until then. And the Lions have played well as long as Ziggy Ansah is healthy and taking advantage of guys that frankly just aren't as good at him on the other side. You're going to get a couple sacks and, like you said, maybe a couple turnovers. The Lions haven't been great at turning it over this year, but Gabbert certainly seems to have come down to earth a little bit last week.
All right, let's move on to a game. I think we can skip right past almost. Bills Cowboys over under 43.5. If for some reason you owned or were looking at Robert Woods, he is out for the year with a groin injury, so maybe a couple more targets heading Sammy Watkins' way. You know, I'd like Dez Bryant if he had somebody to throw to him, but I'm staying away from this game, JC.
Yeah, I don't blame you. LeSean McCoy is now out for the season. That might open up Carlos Williams. Boy, I'd hate
if Williams can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy, and I hate to make a spec play in my championship game, right? So, I tend to agree with you. Sammy Watkins, though, I think is a must-start. You got to play him. He's hit or miss, but you'll be kicking yourself if he's got three touchdowns and 150 yards and he's on your bench. So you got to play him and cross your fingers.
And the ball has to go to somebody in that game. So you would think it'd be Watkins, right, right, Arthur?
Yep, he's the one guy I'm looking at coming off another monster game. I think he's stacked three out of his past four now. So, it's been better late than never with Watkins in his second year, and he has been rewarding fantasy owners of late. No one in that Cowboys secondary that's really going to be able to hold him down.
All right, let's move on to Bucks and Bears. Over under a 46, Bucks are favored by three. I'm going to make this real simple. All the Doug Martin. I will have him everywhere in DFS this week. If you've got him, you have to start him. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm not really looking at any of the Bears. They can say that they're still fighting all they want. The offensive line is an absolute mess. We saw that last week with Minnesota, you know, despite missing three of their best defensive players, making it really tough on the Bears offense. And now you got Lovie, who would just, you know, excuse the pun, love to just run it up on the Bears, I think, if possible, with Doug Martin. JC, what are you looking at in this game?
Yeah, I agree with you. The I have the Buccaneers as one of my highest recommendations this week, and Doug Martin is probably going to gain as many yards as he wants to gain. The number three pass defense the Bears have, that is a complete joke. I don't know how that worked out that way, but they're a sieve, and I think Tampa is going to win this game easily. I agree with you. The Bears, I think you got to play Matt Forte, although he had fewer carries than Langford last week. So I would be, my must-starts are Martin and Mike Evans. I'd take a look at Jameis Winston and Austin Seferian Jenkins and their kicker, Connor Barth.
Arthur, how about Bucks-Bears? What stands out to you from this one?
Yeah, watching Doug Martin was one of the few reasons to tune in last Thursday night to the Rams-Buccaneers. It's fun to watch him right now. I think he looks as good as he has in the NFL. He's chasing Adrian Peterson by a very narrow margin for his first rushing title. And the Bears' run defense, maybe some people are going to be fooled. I don't know what the DFS prices are, but the Bears' run defense has put up good numbers over the past 3 weeks. You just don't know how, considering the kind of play they're getting from their inside linebacker. So I love Doug Martin, and I'm also a big fan of Mike Evans this week. Tracy Porter has fallen off just a little bit, and Evans has the kind of size that I really think can give him problems on the outside.
Well, and, you know, really good news for the Bucks is Shea McClellan might be missing this game with a concussion.
They dodged a bullet there. All right. Let's move on. Falcons-Panthers, over-under 47.5. Panthers are favored by 7. I don't think there's any chance Carolina's resting their players yet. They still have to clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And this is still a division game, and the Panthers are probably a little anxious to show some things after the way that Giants game ended. JC, who are you looking at? Obviously, we're starting Cam. Who else are we looking at in this Carolina game?
Well, Ted Ginn is really starting to become his go-to guy outside of Greg Olsen. I'll let Arthur talk about rookie running backs because that is his specialty, but I think you might have an opportunity there depending on the status of Jonathan Stewart. I would stay away from Atlanta. Carolina is just a machine, and what's funny is I heard today on Mike and Mike, they said, is this the worst undefeated team you've ever seen? They're still not getting any respect, and I think they're, as long as a guy is healthy, he's going to play, and I think they will pummel Atlanta.
Arthur, you've been queued up for rookie running backs here. What are you looking at for Carolina's running back situation?
I didn't know that was my specialty.
Didn't see it on your business card? Yeah.
I thought JC made the right point here. I don't know if championship week is the time for a spec play, and I'm still not sure that we can call Cameron Artis Payne more than that. Yes, he did lead that backfield in touches, but he worries me a little bit. You've got Cam Newton, who's always a threat on the ground in the red zone. You've got Mike Tolbert there, so at least there's a little bit more clarity. I mean, if you're in desperation mode, I suppose you can give it a you can give him a spin, and certainly the Falcons' run defense isn't what it was early in the season, but I don't really love the option. Ted Ginn, I think you kind of do have to love at this point. He's got 7 touchdowns over his past 5 games. With the Falcons, you know, it's bad timing. It's a bad matchup, but you're not sitting down Julio Jones, whether he's going against Josh Norman or not. So you're going to have to kind of hope for the best. I think he still came up with close to 90 yards, much of it in garbage time in the first matchup with Norman.
All right, guys. Out of these four, then, if someone's hurting at running back, who would you play? Christine Michael, Cameron Artis Payne, Amir Abdullah, or Jeremy Langford? These are all guys that are on about half of rosters. You know, they're probably at the bottom of, of somebody's roster. But if you had to play one out of those four, who would you play, Arthur?
Christian Michael. The offense is the hottest. St. Louis Rams don't do much for me on defense. And he's got that familiarity. He's back for the second spin with Seattle. So I wouldn't feel great about any of them, but I guess I'd give Michael the slight nod there.
JC?
I can't disagree with that. I think I'd probably go with Abdullah. He did have a fumble, and he has had fumble problems. But what I thought was really neat is they came back to him on a crucial 3rd and 1, and he just reeled off a 20-yard run, and it was a turning point in the game because the Saints were really coming back at that point. So I'd probably go with him. I think they want him to finish on a high note.
All right, so yeah, if you need a running back and those guys might be available on waivers for you, just something to keep in mind. Let's move on to the next game. Vikings-Giants, over-under 44.5. We are taping this on Tuesday, so Odell Beckham is still suspended, but his appeal is on Wednesday. Let's go through both scenarios. Let's start with assuming that he is playing. Let's say that everybody gets their way, all the fantasy players get their way, Odell Beckham is playing. Obviously, you're starting. How many targets do you think he gets? I think that the Giants just force-feed him against this Vikings defense, JC.
Well, he'd clearly be the best play in the game, not named Adrian Peterson. So, you know, the one thing that worries me a little is the Vikings only let up 19.4 points per game. They've had a couple clunkers, but other than that, they've been fairly solid. If he plays, Beckham obviously is a must-start, and maybe you take a look at Eli Manning. But outside of those two guys, I don't think the Giants, even with Beckham, are real attractive.
All right, Arthur, I want to go to you with the other side. Let's assume that the NFL says, no, you're out for Week 16, ODB. Anybody you're looking at in the Giants is Reuben Randall, suddenly more viable, Hakeem Nicks, maybe Jennings or Vereen get more touches, Will Tye at tight end possibly. What are you looking at on the Giants end of things, assuming ODB is out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm steering clear of all of them. Reuben Randle has not done enough as a former first rounder to sort of inspire confidence. He has had so many opportunities. Will Tye is very touchdown dependent, though it is fun to hear Tirico say Stony Brook is in the end zone. and then, you know, Shane Vereen, it's just they're all too boom or bust. There's not enough clarity in that backfield, so I would be steering well clear of the Giants. And, you know, it's obvious to say if Odell plays, you're firing him up, but you can't say enough about what it means to Eli's Week 16 fantasy kind of outlook, because again, I don't think I'd trust him without Odell, and he's I think a pretty solid, at least a low tier QB1 if Odell does go.
And, you know, if you had to play a Giant, I could see maybe Will Tye as somebody, again, if you're desperate at tight end, maybe yeah. He gets a garbage TD.
Touchdown in back-to-back weeks, right? And one last thing on this matchup, if Odell does go, of course you're playing him. I will say, though, Xavier Rhodes has come on very, very strong. He was really having an inconsistent third year through about two-thirds of it, but he has really turned it on over the past handful of weeks. So kind of hoping Odell does play just so we get an opportunity to watch that matchup of first-rounders.
Okay, let's move on to the next game. Seahawks and Rams over under a 41. Seahawks favored by 13.5. The Rams have the lowest implied team total of 13.8 points. Obviously, you're starting the Seahawks D. I asked this question earlier, but Christine Michael was a popular choice, even though it still appears to be a running back by committee in Seattle at this point, JC.
Yeah, it does. I think he's the guy that you would go to if you're going to start somebody there. I think Doug Baldwin is becoming a must start. And
can he continue to score multiple touchdowns every week?
You know what's funny is he was targeted another time, and the ball was either picked off or deflected. But in the early fourth quarter, there was another touchdown pass coming his way. Wilson didn't see the defender, so yeah, he's. I think you got to play him. Lockett's playing very well at a high level, and of course Russell Wilson is a must start.
Yeah, I really like the Tyler Lockett play. I kind of like Luke Wilson if he's healthy, too, at tight end, Arthur.
Yeah, solid. I mean, you're firing up. We're in rarefied air here, guys. Russell Wilson is on a streak unlike any other in NFL history with the 5 straight 300-yard, 3-touchdown games. So you're trying to get all your stock you can in this Seattle offense right now, obviously. And I think Tyler Lockett is a solid play because, St. Louis does have some decent DBs. No one's been able to stop Doug Baldwin of late. But in Trumaine Johnson and Janoris Jenkins, there will at least be some resistance there. So on the other side of things, Todd Gurley, it's another one of those situations where it's not good timing, it's not a good matchup, but I don't think you're sitting Todd Gurley, at least I know I'm not, and other than that, obviously, that's about it. No Case Keenum or Tavon Austin in championship week.
Todd Gurley, under 50 yards in 4 of his last 7 games, which is unbelievable. I agree with Arthur, you have to play him, but it's not a good matchup.
I'm actually going to disagree with you guys. I'm sitting him if he's on my roster. He's not on any of my rosters, so I don't have to make that decision, so it's real easy for me to make a hot take and say I'm sitting Todd Gurley, but if he was on my roster, I'd take a strong look at my other options.
And you'd have to have, I was going to say, I mean, your other options would have to look pretty good here in Week 16 after it seems like half of the RB1s in the NFL have been knocked out due to injury.
Hey, I started Matt Jones last week, so if I had Gurley, he'd be in every single week. Here's the other thing I will say, Seattle's defense is very good, but they are not unbeatable. The Browns actually were rolling up some points in the first half. It looked like it was going to be a game. Even the Browns running backs had a couple good runs, so I would respectfully disagree, and I would play Gurley unless I had Adrian Peterson and, I don't know, give me another stud. But if that's what it would take for me to sit Gurley this week.
All right. We'll move on to the next game. I'm interested to get your guys' viewpoint on this game. Cardinals-Packers over under 49.5, so pretty high total. Cardinals favored by 4.5. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, is out. Opens up a little bit for the Packers offense. JC, who are you looking at in Cardinals-Packers?
Yeah, that's interesting, and I'm got to admit I'm biased because Aaron Rodgers basically cost me my season with his 11-point outburst in Oakland. And I watched the game front to back. He looked terrible. The Packers looked terrible. It was very wet. But their offense is not in sync. And for this game to hit the over, they're going to have to play a lot better because Arizona right now is a much better team than Green Bay. And they're number 4 against the run. So if they think they're going to come in here and turn Eddie Lacy loose and take some of the pressure off the passing game, it is not going to happen. So in Arizona, you got to love the running back there. I mean, he had three touchdowns this week. Carson Palmer's great. I think Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, those are guys you got to play on the Packers side of the ball. I mean, if you got Rodgers, you probably have to start him, right? I'm not crazy about it. Again, it could be a very good game. It could be a shootout, but the Packers are going to have to play better for it to get to that point.
Arthur, I've got a question for you. With Patrick Peterson, does he follow Randall Cobb all over the field this week, or does Cobb have an opportunity for at least a better matchup than Patrick Peterson, do you think?
Yeah, no, Peterson will stay on the outside, and Randall Cobb's going to work almost exclusively out of the slot, so he's going to draw Jerod Powers, who's there. You know, I mean, if you're counting Matthew, he's their number three corner. So I actually just wrote in that same insert JC was talking about, I think this is an opportunity for Cobb to get going a little bit. That's one thing we have seen over the past 2 weeks with McCarthy calling plays is a greater emphasis on involving Cobb. So, no, I think you're definitely going to roll with him. Jerod Powers isn't really that special, and he's not used to playing the nickel. So that's going to be kind of uncharted waters for him, at least of late. But as far as that, you know, as far as that goes, otherwise it's James Jones or Devontae Adams. Neither one of them move very well, and they're both going to see some of Peterson. So I think Cobb is about the extent of the Green Bay pass catchers you're looking for. On the Arizona side, I think you have to fire up everyone, whether it's Floyd or Brown or Fitzgerald. I like the Green Bay secondary, but these aren't matchups that they, you know, the Cardinals won't have an opportunity to win.
Do you think this is more of a David Johnson game like it was against the Eagles last week, or do you think that Palmer is able to find a little more success in the air?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you guys know how I feel about David Johnson, so obviously you're firing him up regardless, and even if it's not a blowout, I think that Arians wants to keep him very involved. But I guess that Johnson has a better chance because I think that the Green Bay's pass defense is better than their run defense. But overall, this is a matchup I would be looking to exploit across the board if I had Arizona guys.
Yeah, in DFS, I really like Johnson and Cobb this week. I think they're going to be on most of my rosters. We'll move on to the second to last game here. Ravens and Steelers over under 47.5. Steelers are favored by 10. They have the highest implied team total of the board at 28.8 points. I'm playing all my Steelers. I think I'm playing my Ravens too. This Pittsburgh still doesn't have a great pass defense. I think Kamar Aiken, if he's on your roster, I'm starting him. Look, I know it's Jimmy Clausen, but you know Baltimore's going to have to throw to stay in this game, and Kamar Aiken appears to be his number one target. JC, what do you think of this?
John, I love you, but I could not disagree more. For the one thing you said, Jimmy Clausen, really seriously,
that's fair. You can
I
stop
told
there.
You he needs to be starting in your local flag league. Yeah, I don't see it. He did throw two touchdown passes last week. I don't know how in the world he did it. Kansas City must have been napping because then they came back and he didn't do anything the rest of the game. I don't like the Ravens at all if it is Clausen. I think it probably will be. But I do love the Steelers. They're my recommend of the week. I would load up with your Steelers, all the guys you think about. You might even look at a guy like Marcus Wheaton if you're hurting for a flex position. I'd play the kicker. I'd play the defense. I would load up on the Steelers. Just like, you know, Monday night you saw a great matchup last week with New Orleans and the Saints. This week with the Steelers, you got to look at it. I'm sorry, New Orleans and Detroit. You look at it this week, you got to play your Steelers.
Yeah, I agree with the waiver wire pickup if you're looking at Marcus Wheaton. Arthur, what are you looking at, Ravens Steelers? Settle this debate for us.
Yeah, I kind of have to side with JC on this one.
It Boo. Was
half of Kamar Aiken's production came off a Hail Mary at the end of the first half that Clausen couldn't even get into the end zone. So without that, Aiken has a pretty average day. You know, I do think they're going to be playing catch up against this Steelers offense, but I actually will disagree with both of you. I think it's going to be Ryan Mallett this week. That's kind of what the little bit I've read and even less that I've heard. It sounds like they're more interested in Mallett as the potential option for next year. If that's the case, they need to roll him out there and see what they have now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a change there. But
and
I
it's a home game, right? So he should.
Yeah,
make
Ryan
it.
Mallett's going to show up on time to this, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good option, guys. I'm just saying I think upside wise, they know what they have in Jimmy Clausen, and there's a real possibility Joe Flacco's not going to be himself to start next season. So Baltimore needs to be looking ahead. I think that probably involves Mallett.
All right, guys. So you hear it. Kamar Aiken, play him. I'll make a bet with any of you guys on this. All right, last game. Broncos-Bengals over under 41. Denver favored by 3.5. I see this one as a low-scoring one. Tyler Eifert's still in the concussion protocol. I'm not a huge fan of using Jeremy Hill in this one. He's still on my roster in the league that I'm in that managed to make the title game. I know you're happy for me. JC, Broncos, Bengals, anybody look a must play? I know if you've got Demaryius, if you got Sanders, you're playing, if you got AJ Green, but I'm not optimistic about their chances to put up a huge game.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for both teams. AJ McCarron only had, I believe, 195 yards last week. He didn't look terrible, but he's going against the number one defense. And number one defense, even after that Pittsburgh blowout, it wasn't blowout, but they certainly let up tons of yards. They're still the number one defense, and they have about a 23-yard gap between them, between Denver and Seattle. So great defense, and Cincinnati's not bad either, number nine defense. So this is a bad matchup, even if you have Giovanni Bernard or Jeremy Hill. If you have other options, you're going to have to look at them. If you don't, obviously you got to roll with those guys. They got you there. But nobody on Cincinnati, even A.J. Green, you probably got to play him, but doesn't look great. For Denver, I'd say it's a mediocre matchup. It's not great. I agree with you. It'll be low scoring.
You know, I'm going to throw in a hot take here because I actually own A.J. Green in the championship game that I'm in. I don't think I'm playing him. I've got Ted Ginn. I've got a couple other decent wide receivers in better matchups. I really just don't like that A.J. McCarron is throwing against the Denver defense. So if you're looking for a bold call, A.J. Green, if you've got better options, I'm leaving him on my bench. Arthur, what are you looking at in this game?
Yeah, you know, that's risky, but I don't necessarily disagree. My general rule of thumb is play the studs. I know I've said it a few times, and I actually went against the grain and sat Dez Bryant last week. That came back to bite me. He did get in the end zone. You don't feel good about this one, though. He had one catch last week. McCarron, you know, this couldn't be more of a run-first offense right now. That's the one place that the Denver defense can get attacked a little bit. So, yeah, I don't feel real good about any of the Bengals at all. And as you guys mentioned, I think those two pass catchers that really awakened last week in Denver, Demaryius and Emmanuel, are really the only two really good plays in this game.
I think good news for Denver, for owners of Ronnie Hillman, is it looks like he's going to remain the number one back. Anderson was really making a push there. Then he got hurt. I thought it might be more even last week. It wasn't. It was mostly Hillman, even after Hillman fumbled. So if you got Hillman, I would play him for sure.
All right. Anybody else with a bold call for the week before we head out for the week?
Well, I'm not taking your advice. I'm not going to play Jimmy Clausen, that's for sure.
That's probably, you know what? If you're in the championship game, you're probably not in a position to play Jimmy Clausen. Arthur, you got anything before we head out?
Yeah, I'm staying away from bold calls. I'm just playing it tight by the vest and crossing my fingers. This is where the paydays are won. I can't wait to see what happens this weekend.
And best of luck to everyone for your fantasy football championships, and thank you so much for listening to us throughout the season. That'll do it for the podcast today. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. If you want to write a review, that'd be nice too. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The Silverado is ready when you are. Get a head start on the new year with special offers and check out all these Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guests on today's show, JC Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a Merry Christmas and great week of fantasy football. Good luck in your title games.